Amen. What a great way to start today. Are you excited about this day? You're going to show it as you sing. Let's stand up. Let's sing this morning how great our God is.
The splendor of the King.
This morning, He is indescribable.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. In a see it. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring. Oh, every creature unique in the song that it sings.
All exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you fill them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God.
Church, this is Jay Reddish. Jay and I have been friends for a long time, and we're reacquainted about a year ago. We began to hang out some, and New Year's Eve this past year at AQ Chicken, we sat across the lunch table, and Jay gave his life to Jesus Christ. And so, Jay, it's my privilege to baptize you today. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life?
Yes.
Well, Jay, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
No.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a great, great song. Y'all can do that anytime, anywhere, any place that I'm around. And I hope a lot more places as well. Did you know that God is in the process of creating a life message in your life? In fact, one of the interesting things is that He is creating that life message in all of our lives, and it is through the community of faith, the Church of Jesus Christ, that when we share these various life messages that He puts into each one of our lives, guess what happens? We become more balanced personally, and our church is able to be more balanced together. If you were able to dissect the spiritual life message of the man named Abram, the life message that God put in his life was the message of big faith. And that's exactly what we're talking about in these weeks together. Big faith. Last week we learned that God appeared to Abram and asked him to leave where he was, including his family, and call him to a brand new land, the land of promise. And when God called him to do that, Abram all of a sudden picked up everything he had, left, I guess, a portion of his family, took some of his family with him, and he went to this land that he did not even know where in the world he was going. And because of that big faith moment in his life that God gave him, he entered into an incredible moment of obedience, blessing, that resulted in a great moment of worship. Now today the story continues. Here is Abram now in the land. He had a nephew by the name of Lot. They determined that they were going to separate due to matters. And Abram gave him the choice to go where he wanted. And Lot went to the Jordan Valley. Abram went another direction. All of a sudden, in that Jordan Valley region, there began to be a conflict, a war. An alliance of five kings came up against an alliance of four kings. The alliance of four kings won. They captured Lot and the people around him and took away all of his possessions. Someone came to Abram and told him what had occurred to Lot. Abram gathered 300 plus men who were trained warriors, and they went after Lot in order to try to rescue Lot in this situation. Lot was rescued. Along with Lot were several women that were rescued, along with others, as well as his possessions. And we find here in the story that the amazing thing about it is that when they went to Sodom and they were able to recapture Lot and bring him out, that something very interesting and stirring happens in the text. You won't hear a lot of people talk about the passage I'm going to talk about today. And the reason is that it might be confusing. What I've found is what people don't know about, they don't talk about. What they don't feel like that they know a lot about, especially relating to the Bible. Now, we talk about everything else we don't know about and act like we know what we're talking about, but not relating to the Bible.
Well, over in the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis, you see this story and where it is occurring and where it is taking us. And today I want us to look to the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning with verse 17. I want to read from the Bible. The Bible says, after Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. And then Melchizedek, you might want to underline that name, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest to God Most High. He blessed him. That's Abram, and said, Abram is blessed by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and give praise to God Most High, who has handed over your enemies to you. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And then the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people, but take the possessions for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand in an oath to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And I want you to underline this next verse, that I will not take a thread or sandal strap or anything that belongs to you. So you can never say, I made Abram rich, my soul and body. Oh, excuse me, that was not in the Bible there. I will take nothing except what the servants have eaten. But as for the share of the men who came with me, Aner and Eshcol and Mamre, they can take their share. Let me tell you what we're going to talk about today. Big faith, encounters, and honors Christ. Do you realize that to the level you encounter Christ and to the level that you honor Christ, your faith will become large and even larger in days to come. Now, there are three main characters in this story found in Genesis 14. There is the man named Abram. Now, what was God in the process of doing with Abram? God was building into Abram the life message of big faith. And that's exactly what he was doing. And even though the journey had begun, and even though the journey had continued, now there was a brand new level that God was about to take Abram to. He was going to reveal to Abram something that he had never seen before. And his faith was going to become larger than life itself. And then there was the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom. One of the four kings in the winning alliance was this king of Sodom. I want you to notice what he appealed to Abram to do. Release to me the people that you have now taken from me that I had captured originally. And Abram, you keep all of the possessions. He tried to negotiate with this great man of faith. I wonder what the man of faith did. And then there was this other person by the name of Melchizedek. Can you say that word, Melchizedek? Let's say it together. Melchizedek. I wonder who was this one named Melchizedek. Have you ever heard of him? Who is he in the scripture? Well, in verse number 18, the Bible calls him Melchizedek, which means my king of righteousness. Key phrase. He is my king of righteousness. That's exactly what Melchizedek was declared by Abram. And he was the king of Salem. Meaning what? Meaning that he was the king of peace. So, Melchizedek was the king of righteousness, and he was the king of peace. Question: who rules in both righteousness and peace? Do you realize that at the atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross, that he received the justice of God for the sins of the world, which in turn provided peace unto all of those who believe? When you need to go to the scripture and you don't understand the scripture, it helps at times to let the scripture help interpret the scripture. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, listen to what God says in the Word. He says these words. He says, in the same way, the Messiah did not exalt himself to become a high priest, but the one who said to him, you are my son today, I have become your father, also said in another passage, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Well, I wonder where that comes from. Well, that comes from another passage over in Psalm 110. In Psalm 110, I'm not going to read the entire seven verses, but I will read two of those verses. Verse 1, the Lord declared to my Lord. The Father declared to the Son. Are you listening? The Lord declared to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Who is at the right hand of the Father today? Jesus Christ. Until I make your enemies your footstool. In other words, until you are, so that I will put under you all of the enemies of God. And then in verse 4 he says, the Lord has sworn an oath and will not take it back. Now who is he talking to? The Father is talking to the Son, and notice what he says to the Son. Forever you are a priest like Melchizedek. And then the gleaning passage is over in Hebrews chapter 7. If you're a quick student of the Bible and can find Hebrews 7, it would do you well to look at it with me. But we're going to show it to you as well on the screens. Verse 1, chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham and blessed him as he returned from defeating the kings. Verse 2, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Now first, his name means king of righteousness, going back to Melchizedek. Then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Look at this insight. Verse 3, without father. He's not talking about Abram. He's talking about who? Melchizedek. Without father, mother, or genealogy. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Who is that? That's the eternal one. But notice this, resembling the Son of God. Who was Jesus? He was prophet, priest, and what? King. Now he remains a priest forever, verse 3 says. Now consider how great this man was. Now think about this. Consider how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the plunder. the son of Levi, who receive the priestly office, have a commandment according to the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their brothers, though they have also descended from Abraham. But without this lineage, collected tithes from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. Now look at verse 7. Now I'm going to tell you, you talk about a powerful little verse. Here it is. Without a doubt, the inferior is blessed by the superior. The inferior is blessed by the superior. Who is Melchizedek? I believe Melchizedek was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that literally revealed himself to this man named Abram. This was, some would say, a theophany. It was an appearance of God. Some would say he was a type of Christ. Hebrews says he resembled the Son of God. He was a shadow of the Christ and the shadow of the future. Now, those of you who like the Bible, those of you who study the Bible, those of you who teach the Bible, those of you who are interested in the Bible, let me give you a teaching moment here this morning. A teaching moment about interpreting scriptures. Now, if you were to go to seminary, they would talk to you about what is called hermeneutics, which is the study of interpretation. But let me give you an insight about interpreting scripture, and here it is. The primary purpose, theme, and goal of the scriptures is Jesus Christ. Everywhere you look, you've got to find Jesus. Amen. He is the center of all scriptures. Now, when you keep that statement in your mind, it doesn't matter whether you're reading Genesis and even Leviticus, the Song of Solomon, all the way to the Revelation. When you keep that in mind, you will see that he is the center of all scriptures. In other words, from Genesis to Revelation, listen to me today, it is all about the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the atoning one, who died for the sins of the world. If you will remember this when you read the scripture, the Old Testament will have life that it's never had, and the New Testament will lead you to more life than you've ever imagined before. Back to Genesis 14, verse 18. The king of righteousness and peace, this one named Melchizedek. Notice what the scripture says in verse 18. I find this very, very insightful. He brought out bread and wine. Melchizedek brought out bread and wine. I wonder why he did that. Anyone have a clue today? Could it be that here he was bringing it out for the purpose of giving a prophetic word about the coming atoning death of Jesus Christ at the cross? As forecast, even in the Lord's Supper, when the Lord in the upper room gave to his disciples both bread and wine to symbolize that atoning death that was about to take place. Now you listen to this statement today. The cross is where righteousness... Are you following me today? The cross is where righteousness and peace kiss one another. For he who knew no sin became sin for me, so that I might become the righteousness of God in him. And we have peace because of the one who died for us. The Bible says he is the priest to God Most High. That's what the scripture says in Genesis 14. Jesus is whom? The high priest. And here he is seeing as being that to the Most High God. In the Hebrew, this is the term El Elyon, meaning strong one, first one, sovereign one, the first cause of everything. And look at verse 19. The most sovereign Lord and King, what did he do? He blessed Abram. Abram is favored. You know why Abram is favored? Because of his big faith in his life. Who favored him? The God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who owns all, is all, and through all gives us everything we have in our lives. Verse 20 says that Abram gave praise to God. It's the first mention of praise in the Holy Scripture. And who did he give praise to? To the God Most High, the sovereign Lord, who has handed over your enemies to you. You know what a great thing for us to remember in verse 20 is this? All of your victories come from God. It is God who gives you the victories in your life. Amen. I want you to grab a hold of something. Abram here, whom his name is going to change in a few weeks to Abraham when we get there. Abram encountered and honored Christ in Genesis chapter 14. How did he do that? There are two actions that we learn from Abram, and we need to take personally in our lives when we encounter and we honor Christ. And by the way, let me say this to you today. Our generation in America today knows little to nothing about what it means to bring honor to someone else. We're critical, skeptical, cynical. The culture trains us to be that. The old sin nature already gets us there. But the culture is like wind to the fire of skepticism, cynicism, and the whole track of negativity in the culture. We know little about honor. We don't honor leaders. We don't honor many times our spouse. We don't honor our leaders in our from our schools to our churches to our government. I mean, God help us to learn what honor is about. The church needs to be about teaching the culture what honor is all about. I'm always interested when I see the Star Spangled Banner played at a ball game. And I look over and I see how people respond. Some are all over the map. Some are like this. Some are talking. And I honestly just want to go out and slap the devil out of them. When the Star Spangled Banner is played, you honor, you shut up, you stand up, and you put your hand over your heart to bring honor to this nation. But I wonder how you honor Jesus. Don't you think he's worthy of more honor than America? Well, we sure learn a lot, don't we? The Bible here gives us two actions. First of all, give Jesus at least one-tenth of everything he has given to you in life. That's how you encounter and you honor him. When Abram honored him, when Abram encountered him, Abram understood he is superior, I am inferior, even as the writer of Hebrews refers to. Some call tithing the one-tenth, and that's exactly what it means, one-tenth of all. That is the principle of tithing. Tithing is specifically one-tenth of everything you have in your life. The Hebrew word for tithe here relates and refers to the gift that is not given to something else, but it's given to the Lord. And this point aligns Melchizedek with being a type of Christ, or perhaps Christ himself, which is what I believe. Big faith encounters and honors Christ with at least one-tenth of everything God has given to you. Some would say, well, tithing is of the law, and because we're not under the law anymore. It doesn't mean anymore. Don't show your ignorance. Be careful. The principle of tithing did not begin with Moses and the law. It began right here in Genesis 14, 500 years before the law was ever given. I like what the Believer's Bible tells us about this. It says that Abraham commenced it, referring to tithing. Moses commanded it, and Christ himself commended it. And all that's true. Abram commenced it. Abraham or Moses commanded it. And Jesus, I'm telling you, he commended it. He practiced it. He believed in it. He encouraged others to practice it. Who did they give it to, by the way? To the Creator and the possessor of all. That's exactly what the Most High God is, the Creator and possessor of all. And he gave to him one-tenth of everything God had given him in his life. Now, why is that? Why is that? Just pause for a moment. Get your brain into action. Put off your skepticism. And let's just get in the Word. You know why he did it? Because of Hebrews 7:7. Because God is greater than Abraham. That's what Hebrews is all about, that Jesus is better than everything. He's better than the prophets, better than the angels, better than Abraham. He's better than you and better than me. Therefore, he believes and he deserves all that we have in our lives. So the inferior Abraham honors the superior Jesus Christ. And the scripture here is very clear. It was God who honored and blessed Abraham. Therefore, he told him, he said, I give you all you have. And I even give you the victories in your life that you have. Which is a great little insight for all of us. And I know that this is opposite of the American dream. But you have what you have. You are what you have because of God, not because of you. Therefore, you are lesser than the greater. You know what Abram wanted to do? When he encountered Jesus Christ, he wanted to honor Jesus Christ. And guess what he did? He took the first tenth of everything he had, and he honored Jesus right there on the spot with it. You know why? Because the first tenth is always, still to this day, the way you honor God in your life. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10 tells us, bring the full 10%, that's one-tenth, into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. That's the house, the church house. The storehouse is the place where the ministry of the temple took place and through it. There be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Can I ask you a few probing personal questions today? Thank you for the permission. Do you honor Jesus Christ by giving him the first tenth, 10% of at least everything God gives to you? Yes or no? That is not an essay question. It's a simple multiple choice. Yes or no. All, A-L-L, that he gives to you. Another question. If not, why not? If not, why not? You see, your issue is not a lack of money. People say, oh, I just can't do it. It's not a lack of money. You know what it's a lack of? Honor. Oh, hello? Anybody out there today? It shows a lack of honor. People say, oh, Pastor Floyd, it's tough times right now. I got to back off somewhere. I can't. Hey, if it's as tough as you think it is out there, you are absolutely foolish to back off there. You need to be backing off that which you know God ain't going to bless. You need to back into and get into, throw yourself into the principle of the first tenth and give it to God. Live, sink, swim, or die. If you're going down, you're going down with Jesus. Your commitment has nothing to do with the economic situation of this country or of this world. If you think it does, you are missing it. Missing it, and missing it big time. Probing question? Sit up and listen. Are you teaching your children to honor God with the first tenth of all God gives to them? If you aren't teaching your children that, why aren't you teaching your children that? You teach them how to dance. You teach them how to run. You teach them how to throw a football. You teach them how to shoot a basket. You teach them how to dribble a ball. You teach them how to call the hogs. Why don't you teach them how to honor God with one-tenth of everything God has given and will give to them in their lives? And if you don't teach them when they're children, the chances are they will never do it in their lives. That's a good reason you ought to give your child an allowance. Amen. I saw a young man poke his mama. You didn't think I saw it, did you, big guy? I saw it. Uh-huh. Amen. And just remember, when she does, who gets the first tenth? You see, all that's important. All of it's important. If we're not careful, we're going to raise a generation to grow up and dishonor God. Because if you don't teach your child how to honor God with the first tenth of all God gives them, let me tell you what you're teaching them. You're teaching them to disobey and dishonor God. Thank you, Pastor. Boy, that was a great word. Amen. Probing question. Will you start honoring Christ by giving him today, now, this week, at least one-tenth of all God has given to you, to your local church? Will you do it? You see, if you don't start now, you'll never start. You can reason and you can justify and you can rationalize, and you'll rationalize yourself into complete disobedience. And if you do not, then the blessings of God are going to be limited upon your life. Listen, friend, if you do not pledge allegiance to Christ alone through honoring Christ with the first tenth of all that you have been given, let me tell you what you're giving your pledge to. You are giving your pledge of allegiance to the world. That's what you're giving it to. I mean, you think this world's better than you? The American dream is better than you? No, Jesus is better than all of those. He's bigger than all of those. And you know what happens is, if we're not careful, we act like the world is our provider and Jesus is not our provider. Jesus is our provider, not the world, not the system of the world. Why do we live like that? When we don't honor God with at least the first tenth of all God gives to us, then what do? We act like he is our provider. No, we act like this world is our provider. Question. Are you growing in the grace of your giving? Those of you who have honored the Lord with at least one-tenth of all God has given to you for years, don't sit smug like you got it all together today. Are you growing? Grace requires more from you than the law ever would require from you. The first tenth is not the ceiling, it's the floor in your giving. Whatever percentage you find yourself at today, don't you think Christ is worthy of more honor in your life? More blessing in your life? Absolutely. Don't get hung up on the deal. Get hung up on him. And when he is your focus, Your question has got to be, I'm going to move above that. I'm going to move to 11% beginning October 1. I'm going to move to 12% beginning October 1. I'm going to move to 20% beginning October 1. Some of our people give more than that. Some of our people give 30% plus more. I mean, hey, you know, how do they do that? Boy, they must be rich. Rich has nothing to do with it, quite honestly. If you don't do it when you don't have anything, you're never going to do it when you have something. When you honor Jesus Christ with at least the first tenth of all God has given to you, you know what you're doing? You are inviting the hand of God to operate in your life and the provisions of God to be your blessing. And big faith moments in giving happen when you give to the Lord of the first tenth. So when he encountered and he honored Christ, he did it first and above all by giving Jesus the first tenth of all God has given to him. And secondly, you know what he did? He did what we need to do. And I challenge you today, declare your allegiance to Christ Jesus alone. That's what he did in verse 21 through 24. He declared his allegiance to Christ Jesus alone. The king of Sodom told Abram, listen to this. Remember the story? You give me the people and you take all of the possessions. That sounds like a pretty good idea. I mean, boy, if he'd have been a Washington politician, he said, hey, take them, man. Take them. It doesn't matter to us. But you know what Abram told him? Absolutely not. Never. I will not give you. I will not receive anything in this. I'm bargaining hard. I'm not giving you the people. And I'm definitely not giving you the possessions. Now, you know what? Listen to what Abram was saying. Abram was saying, hey, I don't need the possessions. Because if I keep the possessions rather than give it back to who it belongs to, then others will think that you're the one, king of Sodom, that made me rich. And you're not the one that makes me rich. God is the one who makes me rich. And I'm not selling out to you. I'm not selling out to the American dream. I'm not selling out to the system. And Abram was saying, my allegiance is to Jesus Christ and him alone. That's who I am obligated to. He is the one who is the Most High God. He is the one who has blessed me. Abram even said this when he raised his hand as an oath. He said, I've raised my hand in an oath and a promise to the Lord God, Yahweh God, that the Most High God, he is the sovereign one. He is the possessor of all in heaven and all on earth. And my allegiance is to him and to no one else. And I want to challenge you today. That's exactly what your allegiance is to even this day. Your allegiance is to Christ Jesus alone. Your allegiance is not to anyone other than to Jesus. We don't need to bargain with the world, folks. We don't need to put our integrity out here on the line over a system of the world. We are not here to sell out to the American dream. The American dream has probably done more to destroy the gospel being penetrated to the American church than anything I know of. Because we get to thinking that it's all about us. It's all about us having what we want, when we wanting it, getting it, and I mean becoming the model in that. No, that's not what it's about. It's about honoring God through all God gives to us and not selling out to a system that is inferior to God himself. So why should you declare your allegiance to Christ Jesus alone? You know why? Because it brings honor to Jesus. That's why. It brings honor to Jesus. You know what it means to bring honor? It means to value. It brings honor and value to Jesus. Also, how should we respond? We should surrender to Jesus. We talked about that word surrender last week. That's exactly what happens. I mean, when we give allegiance to Christ alone, we're surrendering to Jesus. And then loyalty to Jesus. Oh, that's what it means to raise your hand to give allegiance to God. Loyalty to Jesus. Abram recognized that it was the God Most High, the Lord Jesus himself, who creates and possesses all, and he gave to him one-tenth of all he had. He declared to him his absolute allegiance above anything else and everyone else. Billy Graham once stated these words, and I quote, "If a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will straighten out almost every other area in his life." A.W. Tozier said, "Any temporal possession can be turned into everlasting wealth." Listen to this next part. "Whatever is given to Christ is immediately touched with immortality." Wow. And you know, I'm talking to a host of people today. All of you are going to die one day. You know that, don't you? If Jesus doesn't come, you're history. It's a matter of time. I challenge every one of you. How many of you have already thought about legacy giving? Going down to honoring Christ through your last will and testament of giving God at least one-tenth of all God has given to you. Some of you will be more worth more dead than you are alive. And once the tax laws change by the end of this year, when you die, you need to die now, not later. Because a lot of what you got is going to go to the government beginning January 1. You know what really disturbs me? And I'm going to tell you just honest to God truth. You know one of the things that discourages me greatly and disappoints me greatly in the life of this church? I've been here 24 years. In fact, it was 24 years ago this weekend when I came in view of a call. No, excuse me, next week when I came in view of a call to this church. I became pastor on the last week of October of 1986. In those 24 years, I can't name you three families that left at least one-tenth of all God gave to them through their last will and testament and their estate. And I want to tell you, that is absolutely embarrassing, disappointing, and a disgrace to our walk with Jesus Christ. You say, "Wow, Ronnie, you're pretty hard." Yeah, I'm not being hard. I'm being honest with you. I mean, either we believe this gospel or we don't. Either we believe Jesus is who he says he is or we don't. Oh, I'm sorry, my kids are superior even in my last will and testament. No, they're not. And some of you, you know, you've already messed your kids up because you gave them too much. Now, why are you going to give them more later? Take care of them. Minister to them. But be smart about it. Robert Murray McShane said these words, the famous Scottish pastor, and with this I close. "There are many hearing me who now know well they are not Christians because they do not love to give. To give largely and liberally, not grudging at all." Notice what he says. It requires a new heart. A new heart. And I'm convinced a lot of us, we're just selfish because we've never been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've walked an aisle, said a prayer, but we've never been changed. We've never been renewed by the power of the gospel. Well, the gospel was not simply something to save you initially. The gospel is something you live by for the rest of your life. And I want to call you today to embrace the full gospel message. Jesus has the power to give you a new heart. Would you let him give you a new heart today? Would you let him give you a new life today? Because see, even years ago, when Abram came into the place and into the posture of Jesus, Jesus gave him bread and water, bread and wine to forecast his coming death. He died for you. He died for me. He died for the world.